Good morning, everyone. Welcome to New Life Worship Center again this morning for our Sunday service. We appreciate you joining us today, and I trust that this message this morning will be a blessing to you. We're going to speak to you this morning for a few minutes from this thought, pouring out your heart, just giving it all to the Lord. And as we pour out our heart to the Lord in prayer, as we do that, and we're always praying and asking God for something, what we're really doing is we're wanting to move God's heart to act on our behalf. Isn't that true? You know, as we pour out our hearts to Him, it's normally because of something that we're going through or something that we feel like that we need. And so we're pouring our hearts out to the Lord. We're asking God for something. And so we're really trying our best as we pour our heart out to the Lord to touch His heart to respond to us in answer to prayer. So we're going to kind of think about that as we go through the message this morning. And a great verse to claim regarding this is Psalm 46:1. Should be familiar to most of us, and it's this: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help or an ever-present help in time of trouble or in time of our need. It's so great to know that God is always there. David Wilkerson adds this: the phrase "very present" means always available or immediately accessible. I love that. Faith must rest in the assurance that God's Spirit abides in us all hours of the day and night continually. And because He took up a habitation within us, He listens to our every prayerful thought and our cries. We can be sure that if He hears us, He will grant the petitions that we're asking of Him. Indeed, the Holy Spirit will move heaven and earth for any child of God who takes time to pour out his heart to the Father. And that's what we want to talk about this morning, is a pouring out of our heart to our Heavenly Father. We find a prayer of David in Psalm chapter 62 that touched the heart of God. And we're just going to look at a few verses of that prayer. The whole chapter is a prayer, but let's begin at verse number 5 of Psalm 62. And it says this: "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone." This morning, we all probably could use some rest from everything that we've been experiencing. And some people are feeling and sensing a lot of fatigue. I've been hearing a lot of people talking about that. It seemed like you can't get enough rest, or you feel like you need to rest more than you have before. And the rest that we really need, it's not a physical rest. It's not even a mental rest, but it's actually a rest for the depths of our soul. Because what we're involved in right now is actually a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual warfare. It's manifesting in a physical way with this COVID virus, but it's actually a spiritual warfare that the enemy is inflicting upon this planet right now, and we need to recognize it for what it is. So David says we need to find rest, O my soul, and where? In God alone, no other place. And then he says, my hope comes from Him. Hope is in short supply for a lot of people these days, but for those of us that know the Lord, we have a bright future, and we have a future full of hope because of Jesus. Amen? And so he says, my hope comes from Him. He, God alone, is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He, God, is my mighty rock, my refuge. And then verse 8, I love it. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him. Pour out your hearts to God. Why? For God is our refuge. God is the refuge that we're seeking this morning. And we find Him when we pour out our hearts to Him. Now, Jeremiah writes in Lamentations chapter 2, verse 11, he says, my eyes fail from weeping. I am in torment within. My heart is poured out on the ground because my people are destroyed. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. He was quick to tears because he was so concerned about his nation, so concerned about the people of his nation. and he would weep over them. He would pour out his heart, like he says here, my heart is poured out to the ground because of my people. They've been destroyed. My nation is in turmoil. And he was just pouring his heart out to the Lord about their situation. And then he continues in verse number 18. Let's skip down to that. He says this, the hearts of the people cry out to the Lord. O wall of the daughter of Zion, let your tears flow like a river day and night. Give yourself no relief, your eyes no rest. I wonder how much have we interceded for the people of our nation, those that are lost, those that don't know the Lord, those that have no hope for their future, and they're so stressed and so worried, so fearful, living in such fear and anxiety. I wonder how much we've really interceded for them. And then globally, the nations of the world, how often are we praying for our missionaries around the world and what they're going through in their fields of ministry? And then he goes on in verse number 19, and he says this, arise, cry out in the night as the watches of the night begin. Pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord and lift up your hands to him. I love that. He's saying, you know what, guys? Don't just pray in the morning. Don't just pray before you go to bed. But even maybe let the Lord wake you up in the middle of the night and cry out in the night as the watches of the night begin. Pour your heart out like water, he says, in the presence of the Lord, and lift up your hands to him. He's the one that has the answers to everything we're going through right now. There's no other source, there's no other person, no other entity but our God that can deliver the way we need deliverance this morning. Amen? And so we need to go to him at all times. And then in the midst of Job's distress, he exclaims this in chapter 16. We begin with verse number 19. This is so good. He says, even now my witness is in heaven. My advocate is on high. My intercessor is my friend. As my eyes pour out tears to God, on behalf of a man, he pleads with God as a man pleads for his friend. That's really a prophetic word there about Jesus who is to come. Job says, even now my witness is in heaven. Well, for us, that's the Lord Jesus. My advocate is on high. The Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, and his name is Jesus. Amen? And then he says, my intercessor is my friend. The Bible says that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. And he says, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. Amen? My intercessor is my friend. Even as my eyes pour out tears to God, interceding on behalf of a people that we know and love. And then back to Jesus in verse 21, on behalf of a man and of all mankind, he, Jesus, pleads with God as a man pleads for his friend. I love that. These people that we've talked about already, David, Jeremiah, Job, these are men that we know from Scripture that dealt with a lot of heartache in their lives, a lot of distress, a lot of stuff that they didn't understand and they certainly didn't like, but they went to God in prayer. They poured out their hearts to God, and that's what we need to do as well. And then we find another great example of this in the book of 1 Samuel. I want you to turn there with me. 1 Samuel chapter number 1, and we're going to pick up at verse number 10. It's the story of Hannah, who was a lady that wanted children, but she so far had not been able to have kids. She was getting up in age a little bit here. And so let's pick up in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10. And it says this, in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. You notice a common denominator in all the folks that we've talked about this morning is that they were folks that prayed, but they also prayed to the point of where they poured their heart out so much that it brought them to tears. There's something about tears that's important to God. We know that Jesus, his sweat became as great drops of blood, but he also cried tears. The Bible says that my tears and your tears that we cry as we pray and cry out to God, God bottles those up. They're stored in heaven. Not only are our prayers stored up, and they're incense before the throne, but also our tears are bottled. It's really interesting. And so Hannah is brought to a place of tears. She wept much out of the bitterness of her soul, and she prayed to the Lord. Verse 11, she made a vow saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. In other words, she's saying, I'm going to dedicate this son to you. I'm going to give him over to you for your service for his entire life. No razor will be used upon his head. It's part of a Nazarite vow. No drinking of wine, no razor on the head. They were set apart for sacred use by God. And that's what she's saying. God, if you'll only give me this son, then he'll be yours for all of his life. And so verse 12 says, as she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli, the prophet, observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart. So she's praying silently, in other words. Her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk. And he said to her, how long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. Remember, she said, and the word says that in bitterness of soul, in bitterness of heart, she was praying. And so she said, Lord, I'm a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul. Pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. So Eli answered her, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. I love that. He just prayed a blessing over her, said, you know what? What you've been asking God for, I'm praying that he's just going to grant that for you. Let's skip down to verse 20. This is the answer to it. So in the course of time, don't you hate that? Sometimes the answers don't come immediately, but in the course of time, answers will come. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. Samuel sounds like the Hebrew for heard of God. God heard the cry of her heart, and he granted her the desire of her heart. Let's go a little bit further forward here to back to the book of Psalms. And I want us to go to chapter number 42 for just a moment here. Psalm chapter 42. This is a psalm of the sons of Korah. And we pick up at verse number 1 of Psalm 42. And it says this, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears, there's that word again, my tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? So many times we'll go to God in prayer and we're asking him for things, come through for me, do this, do that. And people around us may know we're praying about some of those things because we share that with them. And sometimes they'll say, well, hey, where's your God? You've been telling me about this. You've been, you know, praying about this. So where's your God? Well, verse 4, he says, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, as I pour out my heart, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. You know, as we go through this pandemic, there was a season where we couldn't gather together at all. And then in the last couple of months, 2.5 months, we've been able to come back at 50% capacity. Every other pew is blocked off. And so we've had to adjust how we go to the house of God, how we worship, how we gather. We've had to adjust to that. And the sons of Korah are talking about a season in the nation of Israel where there's not the ability to go to the house of God. He says, I remember how I used to go with the multitude leading the procession. The singers led the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Well, we can't have a big crowd right now in our churches across the nation for the most part. But then he goes to verse 5 and he says this, why are you downcast, O my soul? That's a great question to ask ourselves today. If you're down this morning, why are you down? Why are we downcast? Why so disturbed within? What's got us so upset? Why are we stressed? What are we fearful of? What are we worried about? What's weighing on our minds this morning? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. I love that. Put your hope in God. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His only Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also along with Him, along with Jesus, graciously give us all things? If God did not withhold heaven's best, His only Son, Jesus, why would He withhold anything from us now? Amen? He gave heaven's best that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Now, there's a great, great response to the pouring out of our hearts, and it was the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate response to the pouring out of our hearts, is that Jesus always comes. He always comes. Now let's look, first of all, prophetically in the book of Psalm. And let's go to chapter 22. And it's a prophetic word by David. We don't consider him a prophet a lot of times, but he is. He prophetically wrote this about Jesus, about the coming of the Messiah. Psalm 22, and I want to pick up at verse number 14. And it says this, I am poured out like water. See if this reminds you of someone. And all my bones are out of joint. Not broken, but out of joint. That would happen hanging on a cross. My heart has turned to wax. It is melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. And my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. One of the seven last sayings by Christ from the cross was, I thirst. I'm thirsty. And so that's a prophetic word. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men. That's what he's talking about. A band of dogs. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. Well, we know who that is for sure. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and they cast lots for my clothing. The pouring out of our hearts was answered in the person of Jesus Christ, who came to give His life as a ransom for every person. I love this. And then Isaiah says in chapter 53, verse 12, a great prophetic chapter about the Messiah, as we all know. And it says this in verse 12, He poured out His life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors. For He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. I love that. Jesus was poured out for us. Paul said, I was poured out like a drink offering. Jesus was poured out like a drink offering. And so we thank God for the price that was paid for us. I want us to go to the book of Matthew for just a moment. And we're going to go to chapter number 26. Matthew chapter number 26. And we're going to pick up at verse number 26 this morning. Matthew 26 and verse 26. It's the Last Supper. And let's take a look briefly. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to His disciples, saying, Take and eat. this is my body. We just did this last Sunday on Communion Sunday. Then he took the cup, he gave thanks, and he offered it to them saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, or the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I love this verse. This blood, this is my blood, and it's the new covenant. No longer the killing of animals, but once and for all, the sinless Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the earth. And he said, this is my blood that's poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So Jesus, his life was poured out. As we said earlier, Paul's life was poured out like a drink offering. Paul said, the time for my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've run the race. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love and long for his appearing. Are you longing for the second return of Christ? Are you longing for his soon return? The Lord says that we should be. We certainly should be. And then I want us to go to the tiny book of Titus in the New Testament. And we're going to begin with chapter 3, verse 4. It tells us this. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. You know, we never could get good enough to make heaven our home. That's why Jesus was sent. That's why he had to come. And it was the mercy of God, the grace of God. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Christ Jesus, our Savior. Verse 7, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Guys, if you know Jesus as your Savior, we're heirs of God and we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Romans 5, verses 1 and 2 adds this. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. I love that. I love that. We've been justified through faith, and so we have peace with God through Christ. And we've gained access. The Bible says we can come boldly before the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. And we do it by faith, this grace in which we now stand. Let's skip down to verse number 6, Romans 5, verse 6. And he says this, obviously Paul writing, he says, you see, at just the right time, I love that, God has a perfect time in your life and in mine for all things. The timing of the Lord is always perfect. At just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I love that. While we were still sinners, I didn't have to get good enough. You didn't have to get good enough. We couldn't earn it. We couldn't buy it. But no, he demonstrated his own love for us, the love of the Father. While we were still sinners, he let Christ die for us. And then verse 9 says, since we have now been justified by his blood that was poured out, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? I believe what we're experiencing on this planet right now is only man's wrath on man. The word says that we that know Christ will escape the wrath of God. We shall be saved from God's wrath through Christ. That's why we in the assemblies believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, that God is going to deliver us from the wrath to come. Verse 10, for if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having now been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Doesn't that make sense? That just makes great sense to me. If when we were enemies, God's enemies, if we were reconciled to him through the death of his son by faith, how much more, now that we've been reconciled, shall we be saved through the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? What an awesome response to the pouring out of our souls to the Lord. What an awesome response. As we pour out our hearts to God in prayer, you know, when we first came to the Lord, we prayed a prayer of forgiveness so that we might receive this salvation, that we might receive this pouring out of the grace of God. And because of the pouring out of the blood of Jesus, our sins can be washed away, not just rolled back for another year, but completely wiped out. The word says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. He says, I'm going to take your sins and cast them into the depths of the sea, never to be brought up again, never to be remembered again. And so this morning, for those of you watching on YouTube today, those in this service here this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I would encourage you right now to pour out your heart to the Lord. Ask him to forgive you of your sins, to come into your life, and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The Bible says if we confess our sin, he said, I'll be faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all sin and all unrighteousness. You can do that right now, just simply by faith. Confess your sin, receive Christ as Savior, and I guarantee you, you won't be disappointed. God will come into your life in the form of the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit will come to live within you, and you'll have this hope of everlasting life. Praise God. So I want you to pray that at your convenience today. But also, there's some of you out there and in this room today that you're pouring out your soul to God, pouring out your heart to God about a special need in your life. Whatever that need is, it could be something very big, it could be something very small, but it's important to you. And if it's important to you, it's important to God. And so this morning, whether you pray a prayer of salvation as I close in prayer this morning, or whether you're asking God for a specific need for you or someone that you know, maybe a family member, a friend, a co-worker, a fellow student, only you know. But God knows what you're praying about. And so let's pray together this morning. Father, we bow in prayer. And Father, we pour out our hearts to you this morning. Lord, if there's anyone in this building and anyone watching on YouTube today that doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, I ask you to touch their hearts. Holy Spirit, do your work of drawing them to you this morning, because unless the Spirit of God draws us, we can't come. And so, Lord, draw them to you right now. Lord Jesus, forgive and cleanse from any and every sin in any of our lives. Empty us of those things. Search us, O God. Know our hearts. Try us and know our thoughts. And see if there would be any wicked way in us. And lead us in the way everlasting. Do it, Father, right now for those that are praying this prayer of forgiveness. And then, Father, for those that just have a special need, a special burden on their heart, something that they're stressing about, something that has them fearful, something, Lord, that has them so anxious. Lord, maybe they're even having trouble sleeping at night because their mind just won't relax. It just won't go into neutral. Father, touch them right now, whatever those needs might be. The word says we can cast all of our care upon you because you care for us. And so, Lord, touch them right now at their point of need, in their time of need, as they pour out their heart to you right now. Father, come on the scene, hear and answer prayer. Heal spiritually, heal physically, heal mentally and emotionally, heal in relationships, heal in their finances, whatever the needs are. Lord, do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And God, we believe you to do it, for we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Guys, God bless you. Thank you so much once again for tuning in. Don't forget, join us again next week, and I know that you'll be blessed. Be careful out there. Stay safe. Take care.